Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Put them in your mouth and suck them.
Hey, that's a new one. Welcome to the second part of our 2015 Rewind. 2015 Rewind part deux.
Part deux.
Part deux. Yeah.
Is so, that how you say that word?
I guess. Yeah.
If you're Charlie Sheen.
Right. So I guess we covered movies and
movies and movies.
Movies and more movies.
Yeah, it was a very extensive movie episode.
So this one we have to talk about some comics.
Yeah. Yes. We have the comic master here.
We have the comic book master here. We have some TV shows to discuss, some video games to discuss, and maybe some music to discuss.
All right. All right. The part where I will not talk the most.
Good, we should start with that.
Maybe we should, if you want. Get it out of the way, like a bandage. Just rip
actually, let's talk about video games first.
Okay.
I know you, a lot of you guys haven't played a lot of video games this year.
Unfortunately, we don't have
the part where
here.
I don't talk at all.
I looked at a list of video game releases. Like it was pretty extensive. I'm sure it missed things. Go home.
Come on, I need a cheat sheet.
Go
here.
Away. Stop cheating. I looked at a list.
Are you looking at your neighbors?
of video game releases from 2015 today, because yep. I was trying to look through and see what I had played, because I knew it wasn't going to be much. I played literally three new games in 2015, and one of them I don't think even counts.
I guess we should probably introduce ourselves real quick.
They know.
Sure. They know. I'm Carrie.
George.
Dave.
Justin from Comical Podcast.
If you were listening to the previous part one episode, they know who the
that's
fuck we
your
are.
Official last name now. It's from Comical Podcast.
Sure. I'll take it.
Okay, so let's go over your list, Dave.
So now, I played more video games than this year.
I know.
But of the ones that were released in 2015, I played three, and one of them I don't think counts.
Okay.
That one is Fallout Shelter. Fallout Shelter doesn't count.
Because it's a mobile game?
Yeah.
It counts. Why not? I heard it wasn't very good, but it counts.
It was fine. There's just not a lot to it.
Yeah.
So
it was good for about an hour.
That's what she said.
Maybe two.
The probably the biggest one was Mortal Kombat X.
Yes.
So
that's actually on my list as well, because not only was it a great fighting game, but they're supporting it.
Yeah.
They're releasing characters for it. I mean, they released Fucking Jason. Fucking Jason. Jason. Not just Jason, but fucking Jason.
Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees.
From Friday the 13th series.
Mr. Voorhees.
From Jason X.
Yes. Dude, if they made a Jason X version of him in the game, that would be awesome.
He's like beating the opponents with cheerleaders.
And they just announced, and they're still going to support it because they just announced four more characters for 2016. We're going to have a Xenomorph.
Leather
so you
face.
Can finally have Alien versus Predator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because awesome. Predator's already in
yep.
the game.
Yep.
Yeah, like you said, Leatherface is really cool. When I watched the Leatherface footage, I just kept on thinking, where the fuck is Ash? That would be awesome to have Ash in this game. It'd be perfect.
Now they've got the chainsaw, though, so I don't know if that becomes redundant.
That looks pretty fun, though.
With chainsaw versus chainsaw, though.
I guess.
What else were there?
I didn't really know who the other characters are.
I think the robot is a combination of like Smoke and like Cyrax and another character. So it's a combination of a bunch of different ones.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Boraichai, the drunken guy, he was like
Boracha?
No, Boraichai or something like that. He was a character from like two or three games ago.
See, I haven't played a Mortal Kombat game since Mortal Kombat 2, probably.
Okay.
It's been
Sega
a really
Genesis
long time.
Days.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mortal Kombat X, I definitely agree. If you're looking for a...
I'm gonna watch you guys play.
I'm going to say the tagline, if you're looking for a bloody good time, look no further.
Is that the tagline to the game?
No, but it should be.
Okay, I'll buy that. I enjoyed watching you guys play.
Yeah,
I used to play fighting games all the time. I just don't have time anymore.
I got out of fighting games a long time ago, too. Like, I was really good at Street Fighter 2. Not Turbo, not Super Street Fighter 2, but Hyper, just regular.
What about Hyper Terminator?
None of that shit. Just regular old Street Fighter 2. I was really good at.
And get like the different colored outfits.
Never for Street Fighter. There was never a Contra code.
Oh, there's a Contra code for Street Fighter 2.
Was there?
Yeah. You could make Chun-Li's costume pink. Because I did it all the damn time.
I bet you made it pink.
I did.
He likes to see the pink.
But yeah, I got out of the fighting games for a long time because to me they got really complicated. I did play like some of the Tekken games and stuff like that. I got into
Killer Instinct from N64. Yo,
Killer Instinct, Bloody Roar 2. Loved Bloody Roar, the werewolf game. That was so fun.
But I did get out of them for a long time, just because they felt overcomplicated to me for a while.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have the patience to get back into it. Because, I mean, I knew how to do, like, everybody's moves in Street Fighter 2, but that was also when I was a kid I had the books and I had the time.
I'm a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 guy.
Yeah.
That was a fun game.
I'm going to take you for a ride. Do-do-do-do.
But they made the they really pitched Mortal Kombat X to me, and I was like, okay, I'm getting this fucking game because this looks awesome.
It's very brutal game looking.
Yeah.
That's
the appeal.
The comics based on the game were good. I just never played the game. Like,
I never read the comics.
It's awesome that you read the comics based on the game.
Yeah, I wasn't motivated to like buy the game and play it or anything. I just read the comics.
I will admit that a lot of my interest in buying the game initially was purely aesthetic. I was like, it's insanely brutal.
Yes,
looking, it is. Which it should be because it's Mortal Kombat. All the like the X-ray moves and all that shit I thought was cool, looked very metal. And that they were already saying, yeah, we're gonna have Jason in it,
right?
All this kind of stuff. I'm like, God, yeah. Now we're talking.
I remember when it came out, we talked about what character they should have, and we were like, they should make a horror fighting game.
Yeah,
and they're getting very close with.
They're getting real close at this point. They need Pinhead.
Pinhead. I was thinking about like
what moves Athena. Can Pinhead do? Most of the time, he just like talks to you.
Right. So Pinhead is going to be because you know all the different characters is very like combat oriented characters, mm-hmm. and there's kind of like magic oriented characters. He'd be a magic character.
Yes.
Mm.
And
Athena,
where you would
Athena
do
Taffs,
move,
or what are
the
they called?
They're Cenobites.
Cenobites, thank you.
Yeah. And
not Cenobites, but
they're delicious.
Delicious.
But I see him as being one of the high, you know, the magic ones,
yeah,
where a
I
lot
agree.
Of his special moves, there's going to be like chains and hooks coming off screen.
I'm about to say like a whole bunch of chains coming.
If they add Chucky versus Leprechaun, I might pick it
that
up.
Sounds
Chucky
like
should
fun.
Be in there.
Yeah.
Ash, come on. All right, so. We're just like giving our wish list now.
So Mortal Kombat was a lot of fun. There's not a whole lot to it. It's fucking Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
But they did a really good job.
It's great looking. It's,
yeah.
It's brutal. It's everything you would want it to be.
Yeah.
It's what good. Else? What else did you play?
So the one other thing that I played, no one's gonna mention it, and no one's gonna guess what it is. You gonna try?
To Fallout?
You gonna try? It's not. I haven't played Fallout yet.
Oh.
It's been in my house since release day, but I have not played.
I have
it
not
yet.
Played it right. Either.
Nope.
Not Dying Light?
Nope.
No
one's going to guess, because no one's like even kind of close right
okay,
now.
Go ahead.
Minecraft?
Nope. Closer. That's the closest one yet. Cities Skylines.
What?
Cities, yep. It's like a SimCity game.
That's a new game?
Yeah. It came out last year.
PC or?
Yeah.
Okay.
PC game.
Better than SimCity?
So I have been a longtime SimCity fan. SimCity 4 held up for like 10 years.
Yeah.
That's how good that game was. It was
Agreed.
It was enjoyable to play for like 10 years. Then SimCity 2013 came out, and I wanted nothing to do with it because it was an Electronic Arts clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
Electronic Arts, in my opinion, killed Maxis, who were the studio that has developed the Sim games from the beginning. And they have folded now, and I entirely blame EA for that because...
You can blame a lot of shit on EA.
Yeah. And they ruined SimCity. And I never played it because I could see the writing on the wall, but it has been horribly received. There were tons of problems with it. It was microtransactions out the ass, apparently. It was fucking stupid. So there were a couple of other games that kind of tried to come along and fill the gap for the SimCity games. Cities XL was one, which was pretty good, but it was kind of broken.
Stop trying to find out what's next on his list.
But yeah, Cities XL tried to fill the gap, and it did okay, but it was kind of it was broken. There were a lot of problems with it, and it was because it was never properly finished.
It had no soul.
And but they've got a new one out, which is
soul.
The next Cities XL game also came out, I think, this year, and I think they improved a lot, but I didn't even touch it because Cities Skylines is so good. It's like, this is the game that SimCity should have been. It's, if you like that kind of thing, it's really, really good.
I was waiting. I'm the same way with the Roller Coaster Tycoon game.
I was about to say, a new Roller Coaster game is coming out, very similar to that.
It was supposed to come
right?
out at the end of 2015 in December, but they put a beta out, and people gave a lot of feedback, and there's a lot of things that people didn't like. So they're actually taking that into, they're heeding those that feedback and actually making the game better before it's actually fully released, which I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Make it better, you know, release it when it's really done. I'm okay.
I had a friend of mine who was a coworker of mine for a while who we found out at one point that we were both like really into SimCity.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I found one, you know. And he made this comparison, and I felt like it was apt, that SimCity games are the digital age equivalent of railroad modeling. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
'Cause were you a railroad kid?
No, I never did that. But I also played SimCity as a kid, so
oh, there you go.
So it already filled that gap. But I really enjoy them. This game in particular
can you get it like on Steam?
Yeah. Okay. It's on Steam, and one of the things about it, and there is a huge community behind it on Steam.
Yeah,
it's moddable right out of the box.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
They designed it to be modded because they recognize that the community that plays.
Can you go on there and like download people's cities that they've made, or they recreate real cities and that kind of thing?
They probably do. I haven't really gotten into the mod side of it yet. I'm still just playing this basic game.
Yeah.
But I've seen things that people have, you know, they've downloaded buildings and, you know, UI mods and all this kind of stuff. It's
that
really
was one
cool.
of my favorite things about Roller Coaster Tycoon. You can actually go, here's somebody's version of like Six Flags
yeah.
Park or Disneyland, which is not right, but it's sort of cool.
So yeah, city simulation games, that's one of my really geeky things that I really fucking enjoy.
We all so, have those.
He was a city engineer at one point in one other life.
That's right.
It sounds like hell to me now. Like, I would not want to do that for real.
I've worked in a civil engineering company, and that's a hell of a job. I don't want to, yeah, we'll move on from there.
So those are the three 2015 games that I played this year. Everything else was from 2014, and some of them even prior to that. So,
1984.
Actually, in some cases, yeah, because I bought a Retron 5 in 2015.
Yes. So, I'm still debating whether to get one or
it's
not.
It's fun. I like it a lot.
Moving on to Justin, what have you been playing this year at all?
Well, I rarely have time for video games. I used to play a lot of RPGs and stuff, but just don't have the time anymore. I did pick up Star Wars.
I know you're an RPG type of guy.
That's my favorite genre. I
really?
Just don't have time for it.
Like, what's your favorite RPG?
Probably Chrono Trigger or Earthbound.
Oh, wow.
I was going to ask, are we talking like JRPG style RPG or like Elder Scrolls kind of RPG?
Like both. I love
Final
both.
Fantasy?
Yeah.
I love both, honestly. Like, I love RPGs, period.
You like Rocket Power Grenades, really?
Yes, they're a lot of fun.
They are a lot of fun.
No, but this year I only really got to play two games. I picked up Star Wars Battlefront.
Yes, you did.
Also in my house, I haven't even unwrapped it yet.
Really?
I got it for Christmas. Val got a copy too. We have two PS4s.
Yeah.
And the whole point was we're not allowed to play with it without the other person also playing.
Mm.
So we just haven't had time. There's
no actual co-op in it. There's training mission co-op,
mm. yeah,
but there's no actual like multiplayer co-op.
Hey, just like Halo.
Just like Halo, which is misleading because Battlefront does say on the packaging two-player co-op.
Yes, it does.
So that's why I bought it, because I originally bought Halo 5 and was pissed off there was no multiplayer, so I took it back and decided to get Battlefront because my wife and I were both big Halo fans. We have been since Halo 2. We've spent thousands and thousands of hours grinding multiplayer games. We're both fairly decent at it. So I got Battlefront as a possible substitution, but unfortunately it's one player at a time.
I sort of warned you before you bought it too. I was like,
yeah,
you
did kind of give me a heads up. But she wasn't that interested in it anyway. So I've had a lot of fun, especially with the space battles. I really
yes.
enjoyed that. The first person shooter aspect of it is good, but it's not great. It's a little bit flawed.
It's a beautiful, beautiful looking game, though.
It looks amazing. It really
I think
does.
It's the best looking game that came out in 2015.
And of course,
Battlefront?
Yeah.
The big scale combat where you're fighting against like 40 mm-hmm. other people is great.
Yeah.
Because you do get to unlock special characters and, you know,
right.
sometimes
the hero
you're,
stuff?
Yeah, sometimes
yeah.
you're in a spaceship and they're not. And, like, you know, it's just really cool and a lot of fun. Good way to just kill an hour if you have it. But for Christmas, she wanted Halo 5, which I had already returned. So I said, okay, I'll go and get it. And I picked it up for her. And we've made it work. You know, even though we can't play together, we alternate. Like, we'll sit on the couch.
Yeah, you can watch each other play.
I'll play a game, and she'll play a game, and so on and so forth.
Right.
The campaign is kind of lacking. It's okay.
For me, okay, the Halo campaigns have always been sort of lacking for me.
Except for 2.
2 was great.
2
yeah,
was great.
Yeah, I agree on that one.
Every ODST was great, too. All the ones since then...
Oats. When I worked at GameStop, we had people coming in looking for oats. You have nice. That Halo Oats? What is that?
It's Halo Oats, man.
Halo
it's a
oats.
New cereal.
Cereal, yeah, exactly right. They probably did have Halo cereal at one point. What are you talking about?
But yeah, the campaign's a little bit lacking. But the multiplayer, and I mean this in all seriousness, it's my favorite multiplayer since Halo 2.
Yeah.
I played a lot of other, you know, I played thousands, like I said, thousands and thousands of hours of every other Halo. Nothing as good as this, because there are no giant maps. Like, there's in Big Team, there are. But in all the smaller ones, it's not about shooting across the level. It's not about hiding in little places and popping people off with your Magnum.
Right.
It's all close combat fighting, which is what I'm actually really good at.
No snipies.
There's sniping, but you have to be fast enough to do it, you know, mid-range instead of long-range.
Right.
You can't just lurk somewhere. The levels are small enough that it's really easy to stumble across somebody that's trying to foolishly do that.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy the fast-paced style of it. I mean, we've already logged... I think 70 or 80 hours.
Holy crap.
Since we bought it on Christmas.
Wow.
And, like, our kill to death ratio is like a 5.6 now.
I suck at that game, so. Like, I have fun playing it, but I suck.
Like, it's not uncommon for me to go like 27 and 3
I
in a game.
I suck at Battlefront, but yeah. I love the fuck out of playing it because yeah. It feels like Star Wars when I play it.
I feel unstoppable playing Halo 5. I'm seriously going like.
I'm
like
a god!
25 and 5 almost every game I play. Like, it's pretty awesome. So.
You can't kill me.
It feels that way. I'm talking shit like nonstop. Running around. So I'm having an absolute
it's like,
blast
yeah,
playing
bitch,
that.
Take that bullet.
So we
face.
Know Halo 5 is probably your favorite game of this past year.
I only got one.
Do you play the most?
I only got to play it for like 5 days. No, the game I played the most was Clash of Clans on my iPhone.
Oh yeah.
That's not a 2015.
Way too many
game,
hours though. On that game, but yeah, Halo 5 is probably my favorite of the new games.
What about you, George? What's been your pleasure?
Oh, man. So, I haven't played a lot of 2015 games, but the few that I have played is Batman Arkham Knight.
Okay,
is another one that I have, but have not had a chance
the
to play
The comics
yet.
Are really good, but again, I've not played the game.
The game is really good, although I kind of figured out who the bad guy was right before I was...
I've heard of it. It's been spoiled for me, so...
Yeah. Lara Croft, the Xbox one?
Rise of the Tomb Raider?
Rise of the Tomb Raider is really
that
good.
That is...
I haven't got to the end yet, so...
I gotta say, Rise of the Tomb Raider is probably the most fun I've had playing a game this past year.
I just feel like I'm playing Uncharted when I'm playing it, so I think that's why I like it so much.
I agree on that one. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
And then Battlefront is another one that I've had a lot of fun playing.
Yeah.
And I just picked up Just Cause 3. It's not like...
Just Cause?
Yeah, just cause. It's not like the best game,
yeah.
But the funny shit that I can do
yeah.
in that game
I agree.
Makes it worth it. So
I rented it a couple times from like Redbox, but now I actually own a copy. I just haven't played it yet.
It's totally a time killer, but it's
yeah.
fun. And those are the games that I played for 2015.
I can go through. You touched upon some of the ones that I was going to mention, like Rise of the Tomb Raider. I think if we had to put a number to something, that'd be...
That'd
really,
be,
really high on the list.
Like what? Number 2, number 1, number 3?
Maybe number 1.
Number 1,
yeah.
Really? Wow.
Number 1 in the hood, G. That game is a lot of fun. It's a really beautiful game.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I still want 100% that game, so there's still a lot of stuff I haven't found. So this is one that I played a shit ton of. Can you guess what it is?
Battlefront?
No,
actually, no. I know it's Battlefront, not Battlefront, because I've seen you play Battlefront.
Yeah, I suck at
Burn.
Battlefront.
No, skip.
Can you guess what game it is? I played this one the most out of any game I've bought this past year.
Lego Dimensions?
Bingo.
That's right.
Lego Dimensions.
You have the most sets for
Every time
it.
I come
I
over here, you're like, God damn it, I gotta get off the couch and move these figures. Why do they make games hard nowadays?
You know how I solve that? Every time I play the game, I just move the game piece closer to me. Put it on the...
It
so
makes,
I don't have
it makes the way it was before, you would sit on your couch,
yeah.
And then every time you had to move a piece, you'd get off the couch... Walk 15 feet and
yes.
then move it and then go and sit back down.
Yeah, that
and
was
then
not,
30
that was not
seconds
good.
Later. You'd have to get up and do it again.
That wasn't a good.
You're like, fuck this shit. This is not a good.
So every time I play the game, I have to pick up the gameplay.
Does it come with a really long USB cord?
It does.
So that's they
so,
wanted you to do.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly right. But I mean, I love that game. I just beat the
better
the
than Disney
line.
Infinity.
Probably.
Okay.
I'm a huge sucker for Lego games.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Lego Avengers when it comes out this month.
I'm not looking forward to it because it just looks like a rehash of Marvel superheroes that they came out with.
I'm good with that.
I'm not, because like I can just play that game again.
No.
And one of my kids got Lego Jurassic World.
Yes. I have that too.
I will probably be playing that.
It's a fun game.
It looks
not as much action as you would think, because like you're not really fighting a lot of things, but it's really good. So going back to Lego Dimensions, I just beat the game a couple days ago. Well, about a week ago. But I got to say, some of the best levels in that game is the Doctor Who levels.
Really?
It's really cool. Because if you beat the game, the story...
More levels are coming out, though.
Yes. I just pre-ordered like the Ghostbusters level, which will be here in a couple weeks.
Nice.
Is that Melissa McCarthy Ghostbusters, or is it
No,
old school?
They're old school.
Okay, good.
So
give
you're
it time.
Good.
They'll
you're
come
good.
Out with a new Ghostbusters for you.
And we got we ordered a Cyberman figure, and then I think Doc Brown.
Oh, so, for Back to the Future?
Yeah, Back to the Future. I mean, it's so cool. Just to have all these things mashed up together.
Yeah, of course. Your
so
imagination's endless. You can put Homer Simpson on a dinosaur in Doctor Who world.
You can.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I know you did. I watched you do it.
it's just a lot of fun. I think a lot of people complain about the price. Yeah, the price is very high, but it's a...
It's Legos.
Exactly. It's a Lego set. And they said they're not going to have like sequels come out to this. They're just going to
just keep adding to it.
So your first purchase is done. Now you just add to that.
Yeah, so just keep spending $20 or $30.
Yeah, something like that. they've been getting actually pretty cheap recently.
So, sure. Until the new levels come out.
Well, Amazon, all the stuff I pre-order on Amazon, everything was like all the levels are like $10 off if you pre-ordered. So.
Oh, nice.
I was like, all right.
And are they going to be pretty soon? Be 20% off.
I don't know if those are included. I know, because let's talk about that real quick. Amazon has said today that...
If you have a Prime account,
you get pre-orders, and for games that are 2 weeks out, you get 20% off.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show until you actually put it into your cart and you check out.
Right.
So you're not going to see the price show up, because I guess some kind of rule they can't do that. But
advertising stuff.
Exactly right. Yeah. App, all that stuff, you know.
Word.
But let's move it on. Let's see. You mentioned Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yep.
Really great game. Ori and the Blind Forest.
The hell is that?
That was a pretty game.
Pretty awesome game.
Was that one of those, like,
it's a indie Xbox indie game. Yeah. It's a, you know, Xbox arcade game.
I just want Cuphead to come out already.
Sometime this year, maybe. But yeah, Ori and the Blind Forest. It's a beautiful, beautiful looking game. It's very Metroidvania.
Is that puzzle game that you were having a hard time with?
Yeah, very difficult.
Yeah.
I still haven't beat that game.
So, it looks hard.
That's what she said. Shovel Knight. Have you guys played Shovel Knight yet?
No, I've seen you play it on your Game Boy.
Oh, Shovel Knight is so cool.
But that's an old game that they just kind of rehashed, right?
No, it's a brand new game. It's just a loving tribute to like 8-bit, you know, Mega Man.
Mega Man and Duck Hunt.
I was about to say Mega Man and Duck Hunt, because you can actually...
Not DuckTales.
Thank you, yeah. Exactly.
I like DuckTales.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
I know. But it's on Xbox One. It's on PS4 now, so you can actually download it. And think the Xbox One version actually has Battletoads playable in the game.
Nice,
pretty cool. We mentioned Mortal Kombat. We talked all about that. A game that I was really looking forward to that did not disappoint. Rock Band 4. I was looking forward to playing Rock Band again. Yes, indeed.
So is the year of musical gaming back for you? Is that what it is?
I don't think it's back, but.
I'm not convinced. I'm not sold on it. I don't care anymore about musical rhythm gaming.
It's still fun.
Meh.
Nah. Everyone else is just a quiet whimper in the room.
Meh.
Well, games are more Carrie's thing than any of ours, I think.
Yeah, probably.
If we had JD here, he'd have more to say.
What about Super Mario Maker?
It looked cool. It looked fun watching you play.
I haven't picked it up in a little while. I need to go back in there and start downloading some
more
levels.
It's kind of fucked up, though. It's like, oh, we here's a game where you can create and make your own fucking levels, because we're too fucking lazy to do it.
But it's cool, though.
Yeah, but...
There's a lot of games like that, though.
Yeah, but they're selling you a game for you to create.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's Mario, come on.
But it's Mario,
It's Mario, it's okay. It's me, Mario.
Didn't PlayStation have some game like that a long time ago?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah. They all like Little Big Planet, like, sort of like that.
Little Big Planet.
No. There was actually like a game like to build your own RPG. That's like all the game.
Oh, I had that
RPG Maker.
Yeah,
I had it. I found it in like a pawn shop or something, I think, at some point, and there was no book with it. And I put it in one time. I was like, I have no idea what's going on.
It's like super complicated.
I'm lost.
Yeah, I've
like played
with
you
it
could
for
tell
hours,
that there was supposed to be a big book that came with it, and it wasn't in there. And I was like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
I think I still have it, but I've never done anything with it.
One game that I actually started, I got it in 2015, but I hadn't picked it up until like this past weekend. Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
I have that too. I just never played it.
Oh my god, I am having so much fun. I am having so much fun with this game. I haven't played the last Assassin's Creed game that I played was like Black Flag.
Yeah.
And I had a blast with that game because I love pirates. You know, being a pirate is awesome. But this game It's set in like 1868.
In London, right?
In London. So you actually get to play two different characters. Like they're these brother and sister, and they. One of the cool new things that you actually get like this grappling gun thing,
Batman
but
style.
It's not quite Batman. It's a little bit more limited than that, so it makes more sense. But some of the characters you get to meet, you meet Alexander Graham Bell, you meet Charles Darwin.
Charles Dickens, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Apparently, I haven't got to that yet.
And then there's a Jack the Ripper missions.
Yeah, the Jack the Ripper is like a DLC game you could buy towards it. But it's a lot of fun. You can recruit like real gangs in the game. You can raise them up and you know. And I think
what was that gang in the Gang of New York, the White Rabbits or something like that.
It's very much like that. It really is. It does feel a little bit like Gangs of New York. That I'm Daniel Day-Lewis, you know. But I don't remember like the last few Assassin's Creed games, maybe somebody out there will know. I don't remember if there was a leveling up system like there is in this game. You earn points and you actually level up your characters and stuff, or new moves and all that. I think that's really cool.
If I remember correctly, in Black Flag, you like learned new moves as you went along.
Yeah.
But I think that's about it.
But you can also do that to your gang, too. You can actually train them and have them learn new moves and all this kind of stuff. And it's Grand Theft Auto Buggy. Grand Theft Buggy, because you...
What?
The travel around in the game, you can actually steal horse and buggies.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty cool. Like,
come on, bitch, give me your horse.
Yeah, there's actually... You actually press A to go faster, and you're like, hey, come on, faster! And yeah. I think it's a lot of fun. It's the most fun I've had in an Assassin's Creed game in a long time.
I got
time.
It during Black Friday. I haven't played it yet, but I have it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You should pop it in and play it.
That's what she said.
Damn it, I knew you were going to say that. Damn it. Let's
put
them
in your mouth and suck them. Suck them.
So my honorable mentions, I'm just going to go through them real quick. Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. I need to get back into the game. That game was amazing.
Never
if you're looking
it.
At a great RPG, that's a lot of fun.
I hear it's a massive game to play.
It is very massive. That's what she said. Okay, get it out of your system.
I didn't say it.
You're thinking it, though.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was totally on
people
you.
People complain because like RPGs are too small and stuff. Like,
no.
I loved Fable and Fable 2 because they were so short.
You know, the first time I played Fable 2, like first like hour into the game, I've lost everything, even my clothes. So like I was like in underpants for like.
In the game or in real life?
Both, probably.
Okay.
As far as I can remember.
That's what I figured.
Did you have the badass sword? Because I think I did the same thing in Fable 1, but I had the badass sword.
I don't think I think I lost everything, literally. All I had was underpants.
So, my honorable mentions, Batman Arkham Knight.
Yeah, that was your honorable mention, really? You didn't enjoy that game enough to be like in the
It's not my
top tier?
No, not really.
Dude, like it was so awesome, though.
Halo 5, same way.
Justin's going to kill you after the show.
No, it's,
he's going to ring
Shooter your games aren't everybody's.
Star Wars Battlefront.
Really? You didn't enjoy that one?
I love how great it looks, and I love the Star Wars.
It feels
of
like
it.
Star Wars. When you're in it, you're
it
in
does,
Star Wars.
But it's,
space battles are so great.
They are. But it gets, I don't know.
You get to fly the Millennium Falcon.
I can do that in Disney Infinity, too.
It doesn't look the same.
It does not. But
and you're not fighting against like a swarm of TIE fighters.
That,
like,
too.
Okay. I played a lot of the Star Wars stuff for Disney Infinity this year. My biggest complaint about those games, they're fun to play. I exactly understand where they're going with it, but there's too many missions in the levels that are do this, do that. It's not enough action, I don't think. That's my biggest complaint. But the Force Awakens sets was a lot of fun. It really.
The mouse says, "I don't give a fuck. I got your money anyway." That's what he's saying.
Yeah, pretty much. They have a lot of my money, especially this year,
and for the comings of years.
In the comings of years, exactly. Yeah. And my last game that I really enjoyed was Tales from the Borderlands, the Telltale series.
Oh, okay.
A lot of fun. There's like 3 episodes I have to go before I finish it, but
I really enjoy their Game of Thrones games. Because it just feels like I'm watching an extended episode or something.
You're playing an extended... The Walking Dead games were amazing.
I haven't played season 2 yet.
Yeah, I haven't played season 2. Season I played season awesome. 1 pretty good.
There's a Michonne one coming out.
It's way better than the show.
We're going to get there. Don't jump the gun. All right, so let's move away from video games. Very cool. Let's talk about comics real quick.
Comics.
Where do you want to begin?
Let's begin with George.
Oh, no.
What were your favorite comics this year?
My favorite comics this year?
Not stand-up comics, but comic books.
Yeah, my favorite comic book. Probably Bill and Ted.
Really?
Yeah.
It was fun.
I'm a huge Bill and Ted fan.
Yeah.
From the movies.
I read them too. They're fun.
And it was just so great to see that story revitalized again, and it just felt like I was reading a novelization of the movie, kind of. Like the sequel I was supposed to get that I've never gotten.
You don't see just too many... comic books that are based on picking up from where movies left off.
Yeah, but
it's the right medium to do it in, though.
Yeah,
like the Back to the Future ones. Did y'all read those?
No, but I heard they were okay. And I heard actually, I did read the first few issues of Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah. Those are pretty good.
Yeah,
because those pick up like literally where the movie left off.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think
Joe Eisman writes on that, or draws on that, I'm sorry.
He's done a couple issues, yeah.
So I would say Bill and Ted's probably one of my favorites, because it's the one I can remember the most right now. But I'm sure there are others.
It was fun.
I really enjoyed the Ghostbusters Ninja Turtles crossover.
I'm sure you do.
And I'm really enjoying the Batman Ninja Turtles crossover right now.
The first issue was great.
It was great, because it felt like the movie Ninja Turtles, not like the crappy, 1990s cartoon, but
the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles thing,
where they order a pizza and they're like, just put it on top of the sewer grate, and like they leave the money stapled to the telephone pole.
Movie. It was great.
Yeah, it feels like movie turtles.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next.
I should
issue.
Read that.
It's good.
It's fun. Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure he's gonna mention some shit, and I'll chime in.
Should we just skip over Dave?
You should. Yes. I read literally no comics this year.
So since Justin is the comic book expert here, since his show is all about comic books, I'm going to go first, and then I'm going to let you finish up.
That's fine.
You get sloppy seconds.
Okay.
He's going to go sloppy first surge from here.
Okay. My favorite series of this past year was Star Wars. Jason Aaron's Star Wars.
Okay, yeah. That's also another favorite of mine, too. I got to say...
Marvel, I was a little skeptical, but they have picked up the Star Wars legacy, and they are killing it.
I think my favorite is the Darth Vader, though. Out of the two, it's Darth Vader.
I don't know how much you can do with that character, but Kieran, what's his name?
Kieran Gillen.
Gillen, yeah. He conveys
a lot of emotion for a character that doesn't have a face to show.
He created an amazing supporting cast, too.
Yeah. The two droids.
The two droids give so much more to Darth Vader than Triple Zero.
Triple Zero and BD or whatever.
The Death C-3PO is basically what it is.
Yeah.
Darth C-3PO.
Yeah, they're killbots.
The psychotic C-3PO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to kill you now.
It's a perfect parallel to Luke's droids.
Yes.
And both of them are psychotic and deranged and love to torment and give
torture
suffering
and
to
kill.
People.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
It is a lot of fun.
it's a very good
And they have to go
series.
Through like a long quest to unlock them, too. Like, the first 3 issues are all about them going on the quest to find these droids. And once they get them, they're like, okay, now we have enough of a group that we can actually go about our real mission. And
they have Darth Vader has a smuggler on his side. I can't think of her name now.
It's basically the...
She's kind of hot, too.
It's like he's built the same team that Luke used against him.
Right.
You know, he's got the smuggler, he's got the two droids.
It's the dark parallel of... But
all he's missing is the princess.
My favorite issue of the Star Wars and Darth Vader stuff, it's the issue where Luke is fighting Boba Fett.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't think I've gotten that far yet.
It's really, really good.
It's pretty good.
Man, so, I mean, I've been reading a little bit of the other ones, too. I've read the Chewbacca series. Haven't read Lando yet, but I've
Lando's
been,
a lot of fun.
Actually, I just picked up from the yes, I get graphic novels from the library. I'm reading Kanan right now, The Last Padawan.
That's honestly the only one I haven't read.
It's really, I was wondering where it was going to be in the timeline.
Because it's based on Rebels, it which I never
place,
saw.
It
yeah,
takes place
I like
right
Rebels.
Before Rebels.
I never watched Rebels, so I have no
Rebels
familiarity.
It takes place, like, yeah, it takes place when he's a much younger Padawan.
Yeah.
But it takes, the first issue, at the very end of the first issue, I don't want to spoil too much, but Order 66 is turned on.
Yeah,
you know what that happens.
Effect.
And so he turns into, that's how he becomes the character he is in Rebels. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I wasn't sure if I
haven't
like
finished.
It or not.
I have issue one, but I've never read any more than that.
Moving on my list, the new Deadpool reboot, really good.
Yeah,
especially
which
the Spanish issue.
Well, okay, so currently Deadpool's an Avenger. He's part of the Uncanny Avengers team.
Is this before or after?
This is after Secret Wars.
Okay,
after Secret Wars.
Jerry Duggan is still writing it.
Iron Man is no longer an Avenger.
Nope.
So the Avengers don't have any funding. Like, there's no money backing him at all. So they've come up with a way to make money, and since Deadpool is now heralded as like one of the greatest heroes of all time, everybody loves Deadpool, everybody wants to be Deadpool, he started licensing his image.
Nice.
So there's other heroes. That's awesome. There's other heroes that
very true to life.
Are acting like Deadpool. He has like merchandise shops that are nothing but Deadpool merch, like t-shirts.
It's like the
plus
Avengers
dolls.
Tower, it's the whole first floor is like a merch shop. You can just buy stuff
it's
with
all
Deadpool.
Deadpool
shit. Awesome.
And that's how they're financing their
The Avengers.
Their organization. That's how the Avengers are financed.
That makes sense.
He's still funny. He's running his own group, which are not the Heroes for Hire, because he can't use that because Luke Cage owns it.
Right.
They're called the Mercs for Money.
Mercs for Money.
And he has a bunch of like...
They're like misfits. He's got like Madcap.
Yeah, Z-grade villains, basically.
Yeah, like Fool Killer. Remember Fool Killer from the 90s? Like,
no.
I mean, it's just like all B-grade Marvel vigilante characters
B-grade,
that have like no problem killing people.
They're definitely not B-grade.
No. There's some of them like, are way lower than that.
Way lower.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, though. It's a
it
really
is,
good series.
It is a lot of fun.
Moving on, the Vision series. I wasn't digging it the very first issue until like it clicked. I was like, oh, this is really, really a good series.
Yeah.
I really love the series.
It's a smart, funny book.
Yeah, exactly.
Vision decided he wanted to have a family.
With Scarlet Witch?
So, no. So he went and he created androids that are based off of himself, like a wife version. He programmed to be the perfect wife, but she's also an android just like Vision. And he made two children.
Lady in the Streets, Freak in the Sheets.
Yeah, he made two children, a son and a daughter, who are based off of him as well. And then they moved to suburbia, and the two kids enroll in school.
So does he fight crime at all? Or?
Occasionally he goes and helps people. He's like what do you call it?
Like a good Samaritan.
No, he's like they outsource things to him. Like they can't call the Vision in to like handle certain things. But
but he's also still a liaison to the government for the Avengers.
Right. Most of the time, though, he's like at his house, like in his workshop, building shit.
Well, think about people that work in DC and they have they live in the suburbs of like in Virginia. That's what this story is like.
Yeah, and you know the son and daughter are ostracized at school because everybody knows that they're like the Vision's made android children. But they see themselves as real and living beings.
Very Pinocchio-like.
And, you know, bullies try to pick on them, which is a bad idea because they've got super strength and everything else. So it's very smart and it's very funny.
Yes.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
Another series I forgot to mention, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, that's a good one, too. I'm enjoying that.
I enjoyed the hell out of Howard the Duck.
Yeah, it's been really good as well.
Hellboy in Hell, I've been enjoying that.
Anything, I have not read that yet.
Anything with Mignola, and Mignola does, I'm good.
Yeah.
My last series that I wanted to... This is like an event series. I usually don't really like these that much. I read them just to catch up with everything. But Secret Wars.
It started pretty strong.
They haven't finished yet. So.
There's still got one more issue to go. It's kind of faltering at the end. And we did see we did see all the post-Secret Wars stuff start 6 issues into the 9-issue Secret Wars storyline.
That was a little crazy.
So we already know that the world that's formed after Secret Wars hasn't changed too much from what it was before.
Yeah.
Like, there are some small differences, and different universes have definitely been destroyed, because we've got the Squadron Supreme, and we've got things like Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen being trapped in the main Marvel universe now, but space still exists. You know, Spartax still exists. Like, the Kree Empire got destroyed, which that's still canon, apparently. But in general, things are almost what they were before Secret Wars. So my guess is they got the Infinity Gauntlet and just undid everything that happened.
Well, they couldn't have done undead everything because there's still characters.
Well, they
still
did. Here. They did the best they could undoing right. thing. I mean, it was Namor and Black Panther. They're not perfect, yeah. So yeah,
that's true.
But it's been pretty good. I like the artwork especially. I think Asad Rebic is one of the best artists Marvel
that's
has.
That's why
at
it's
disposal.
Been taking so long for the issues to come out. I heard.
Yeah,
because he's so meticulous. It takes him a long time to do.
I mean, Hickman's written a pretty good story, and there have been some really amazing issues. But
I'm usually not a big fan of Hickman because. His writing tends to be very...
He's a slow burn writer.
Yeah, it's hard to get into his stuff.
Sometimes. Sometimes stuff comes out that's just like amazing from the get-go, like East to West.
Okay, I haven't read that.
Or, what's the
I'm talking
one?
More about of his... Like,
Dying
his,
in the Dead.
His, more his, of his superhero stuff.
His superhero
his
stuff,
stuff.
Is a little bit contrived, and sometimes it's really too much of a slow burn. But his indie stuff is just phenomenal.
See, you're the indie guy here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I need to really get more into some of the indie stuff. Just give me a list of stuff to read, and I'll do it.
That's not a problem.
it's called Comical Podcast.
Yeah, exactly right. I do get recommendations from the Comical Podcast. I'm like, oh, I should read that. It sounds good. So my breakout, I think, writer of the year is Jason Aaron.
Well, Jason Aaron kind of had his breakout last year.
Well, for me, I'm talking about this year because of Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely gotten more notoriety this year, but he really established himself as a great writer last year, I'd say.
So what? Thor, Southern Bastards.
Son of Southern Bastards.
Oh, I like
Men of
Southern
Wrath.
Bastards.
Men of Wrath.
See, I haven't read that
one. Miniseries you did last year. Great.
Kind of like Grapes of Wrath?
No, it's about these, it's about a hitman who lives out in the country, and he fathers a son and a family and everything, and then he abandons them, and their last name is Wrath.
Mm.
And he comes back to town because there was a hit put out on his son, but his son, he trained him when he was a young kid how to fight, so it's like the father and son, they're both hitmen, they're both trying to kill each other kind
it's
of thing.
Kind of like History of a Violence.
It's pretty
you
good.
You know what I love about Justin is his mind's like a fucking sponge. He remembers everything. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
I forget.
Like,
I forget
read,
things all the
like,
time.
He's like, I read
too.
This comic 20 years ago, and you know, he can just tell you exactly the whole story.
Storylines I can remember, artists or writers that make an impact on me, I can remember, actors and directors who make an impact on me, I can remember. But if I'm not blown away by what you do, I don't remember you very well. That's why I struggle with actors sometimes because I just don't remember everybody.
I just suck at names.
But I try to remember things.
Let's go to your list now.
I can't explain the random shit that I remember.
Okay, so this is the same list that I ran down on our end of the year episode on our show. We broke it down into three different categories. We had a top five indie books, top five big two, meaning Marvel and DC,
right.
And then a top five miniseries. So my top five indie...
So your indie, do you consider Image and all that kind of stuff indie?
Image, Oni... Boom,
IDW.
Stuff that's not like the big three.
Anything that's not the big two. The big two are Marvel and DC. So anything that's not an established superhero company publishing them,
gotcha.
I consider indie. So my number five indie book is Sex Criminals by Chip Zdarsky and Matt Fraction.
That came out last year? I thought it came out the year before that.
It started 2 years ago, but it ran all last year.
Oh.
Doesn't mean it had a start.
I'm considering issue 4 through 12, which came out last year.
Gotcha.
My wife really enjoys that series.
It's really funny.
We have both of the first graphic novels, so I need to read it.
It's hilarious and it's twisted. I mean, it's this man and this woman who independently have the ability to orgasm and freeze time. Like they learn.
Why do
that.
You say that so weirdly? It's normal, right?
They learn that when they're kids.
It does for me.
And then they accidentally meet each other, and when they sleep together, they're used to their partner freezing with everybody else and everything else. But this time, it doesn't happen. They're both aware and conscious, and they figure out that they could freeze time by having sex. So they do, and they start robbing banks.
But it gets more weirder than that.
Yeah, I know.
That's just the basic premise, but it does get much weirder.
I don't understand
weirder.
How they're going to make this
because there's
a
lot
TV
of
show.
Dude, you had me at sex.
There's a lot of other people in this world that have powers that are based around sex, and some of them are extremely twisted.
Oh, okay.
And there's a sex police that tracks the people that have abilities, and they're trying to catch these two in this current.
Isn't that a Cheap Trick song?
Yeah, I think
yes.
So.
I thought so.
But it's a lot of fun. It's really funny. Chip Zdarsky is one of the most awkward and interesting writers in comics.
Also, right. He also
writes Howard the Duck. He's just a really strange guy. I'm hoping that we get to interview him this year, actually.
That'd be very cool. I'd love to listen to that.
It's definitely a good one. You should check it out. Number four is Hexed. I can't remember the writer and artist. I should have written it down. I'm sorry. They are...
Sorry, guy. We don't remember.
Well, it's based off a young adult novel series that came out like 10 years ago.
Really?
About a thief who... works in a museum of magical artifacts. And the curator of the museum knows pretty much everything there is to know about magic. So she goes out and she finds things, and she accidentally brings back this painting that has some kind of evil spirit trapped inside of it, and it breaks free. And it ends up killing her mentor and burning down the museum. And it turns out that one of the rivals of the curator was the sister of the guy that was trapped in the painting. So she has to try to avenge her, and she, you know, goes through a bunch of different transformative acts, learning witchcraft and making alliances with dark forces and that sort of thing. Her name's Lucy, actually Lucifer. But it's a lot better than you would expect it to be. It was one of the books that I looked forward to most this year. Every time it came out, I couldn't wait to read it. It was like always at the top of my pile. It's great. It's one of the best witch stories in the last few years. Hexed.
Who put that out?
I believe it comes out from Boom.
Boom.
Yes.
Because Boom's is known for like, you know,
kids books
basically.
Now that's Kaboom for the kids.
Oh,
books.
Really?
Yeah. My number three book is Shudder from Joe Keating and Layla Del Duca. This is a book about a woman named Kate Christopher who lives in this world full of magical creatures and whatnot. She's a photographer, but she grew up as an adventurer. Her dad was one of the most well-known adventurers in the world, and she went out and traveled to all these extravagant places and did all kinds of interesting things. She got older. She was like, fuck it. I'm tired of being well-known. I'm tired of being a pseudo-celebrity. I just want to take pictures and live a normal life. And one day, assassins attack her and just keep trying to kill her over and over and over again. It's all these like magical creature kind of things. So she goes on the run because they're tracking her everywhere she goes, and starts to find out that there's all kinds of hidden mystery sort of things about her family that are causing everybody to come after her. And it's a really, really interesting series full of strange places and strange creatures. And I'm not doing it any kind of justice trying to explain it, but absolutely one of my favorite series of the last 2 years.
What's it called again?
It's called Shudder because of the camera.
That's a good title.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Joe and Layla are both wonderful people, and this is one of my favorite books. So never read it, I highly recommend checking it out. My number two is Morning Glories, which is a mystery all about the school.
Yeah.
You mentioned Joe Eisman before. He's the artist. And
he actually drew you in an issue?
Yes, he did. I was actually featured in this comic this year as a security guard.
That's why it's number two.
Kicking some poor girl on the back. It's pretty awesome. that's not really why it's number two. I mean, that's the same joke that my co-host made.
It helps.
It does help. Can't hurt, right? But really, I just love the mystery behind this. We're 50 issues into this story, and I still have no idea what the fuck is going on. Every character is...
But in a good way.
Yeah, in a great way.
I have a bunch of reading to do because you let me borrow like the first like seven volumes of it.
Yeah, it's...
I've read the first couple of issues of it, so...
I promise, more than any other book I recommend, if you pick up the first trade of this, no matter who you are, if you like mystery stories, you will love this.
It's like a mystery story set like in the School for Gifted Children.
It's almost like Lost. Like there's the school built on an island in the middle of nowhere that they can't... People can't get to. There's no communication with the outside world. And these gifted children are the only children that are brought there. And when they're brought there, they erase all existence of them on the outside world. Like, they go back and kill their families.
It's like if X-Men happened on Lost.
Sounds perfect for me.
And there's a big overarching mystery, which is really fascinating. But the first trade is only $10, so pick it up. I'm sure if you don't like it, you can take it back. But
read it and then take it back.
Read it and take it back.
Go to your local library. I'll give you. This is a secret for me. If you're looking for stuff to get into, go to your local library. See what they have. They usually have a great selection of great graphic novels.
That's definitely becoming more of a thing.
It is. For sure. Great. Yeah, my wife. We just went to the library over the weekend. We checked out like 8 books. Great.
Yeah. Now is making time to read those 8 books.
That's the problem.
You'll love Morning Glories if you get a chance. And my number one indie book of the year was Nailbiter from Josh Williamson and Mike Henderson.
But I haven't read it yet.
That's on my list to read because you mentioned it before.
I love it. I've been featured in this as well. I wrote a letter to him and he published it in the back. Really? This is a story about this town that has spawned the most serial killers of any town in America.
To get on Justin's list, you need to either publish his letter or put his picture in there.
It doesn't hurt. No, really, like, Josh is one of my favorite writers of all time, like, comics or novels. Like, I love his...
What's his name?
Joshua Williamson.
Okay.
Like, I just...
He did, what?
He did Ghosted. He did...
Did he do Batman for a while or something?
He did do some Batman books. He did Deathstroke for a while.
Okay.
He's done stuff for all the big companies as well as his independent stuff, but his independent stuff is all horror related, and it's so far beyond what other books are. Like, I love his writing style.
Is that the same guy that did Birthright?
Yes. Yeah, same guy from Birthright.
Yeah, I like Birthright a lot.
Yeah, that's his other one, but I think Nailbiter is a little bit stronger of a title. And I think the characters in Nailbiter are just a lot stronger. Not to say anything bad about Birthright, because I love that series too. Anyways, if you're a horror fan and you like serial killer dramas, check this one out, because it's another mystery.
Very cool.
Just focused around serial killers. I think it's great.
What about your big two?
My big two, my number five book of the year is Midnighter from Steve Orlando and so ACO.
I've heard you talk about Midnighter on your show. I always thought it was an indie book. I didn't realize it was like an underused like DC character.
Yeah, he's a guy that has two hearts. So if you kill his first heart, he's still alive. He also has future technology that allows him to predict the future. So he can actually see moves that opponents are going to make before they make them. So he's really hard to beat in a fight.
So he's Nicolas Cage in Next.
Kind of.
You have to plug the controller into the second port
yes.
to beat him.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's also really charming and just a total asshole. And he's gay. That's the big twist on him. He's gay and like the new version of him that Steve Orlando is writing. Because Steve Orlando's gay. We've had him on our show several times. He's a good friend of the show. It's really weird to see this like really human character who's really like in all these relationships with men. And he's so open about his feelings and stuff. And then he goes out there and fights and like brutally kicks the ass of like all these guys. I mean, it's just such a weird, I don't even know what the right word is.
John Barrowman.
Sure. but
what? Okay.
He's
openly gay and he kicks ass in most of the shows he's been in.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, it's not even about the fact that he's gay. Like, I like it for the punching. Like, that's what I always tell Steve, but I do also like to see the human side of
punching.
It.
Punching.
Yes.
That's what the
Donkey punching.
Yep. Donkey punches.
My number four book is Deadpool, which we already briefly talked about. Really enjoying that. My number three book is He-Man and the Eternity War.
How did I know that?
You're a huge He-Man fan.
I am a huge He-Man and the Masters of the Universe fan, but even if I wasn't, I still think I would enjoy this book just as much. If you're familiar with the characters, which you should be, I'd imagine everybody has seen Masters of the Universe at some point. It's He-Man in a world where Hordak's forces have come and taken over Eternia. He's actually taking control of Grayskull and is trying to find a way to travel to other universes and take over them as well.
The only He-Man series I've read recently was the He-Man versus DC Universe.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
It starts strong, but then it gets really weird.
Yeah.
So he's basically working with all the forces of Skeletor and all the forces of Eternia to try to stop Hordak and his horde from spreading out into the universe. It's really well done. I love Pat Mahan's artwork. I think that's a big reason why it's...
Grayskull in it?
Yeah, Grayskull's in it. Okay. All the characters you know are in it. I mean, even the Snake Men are a part of it, which cool. I think is cool.
Interesting.
Trapjaw?
Trapjaw. Merman, Beastman.
Yeah, Trump.
What was that dude with the O shirt and it fucking floated?
Orgasm Man?
Huh?
Not Orgasmo.
Orgasmo?
He had the O shirt and he had a
Orko.
Weird, Orko, yeah.
Orko's in there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I never knew what the fuck he did. I just remember
he was
just the cartoon.
He was the court jester. He was the magician and the court jester in Eternia. It's really good.
So, I was always wondering why he was never in the movies.
Tim Seeley's the writer, Pat Mahan's the artist. It's great.
Cool.
Number two, and this is kind of a cop-out maybe a little bit, but I'm bundling all the Star Wars books together as my number two.
No.
I think that Star Wars, the main title, and Darth Vader are definitely the two best.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to have too many Star Wars titles in my list, so I just said Star Wars. Kind of all-encompassing.
Together.
Princess Leia is kind of weak. Yeah, Chewbacca.
I agree on Princess Leia.
Chewbacca's fun, but it's not as good as some of the others. Lando's,
does he go grrr all the time? I mean,
yes, he does.
Yeah, okay. So you never understand what he's saying.
Chewbacca. Oh my god, speaking of Chewbacca, have you seen the video clip of scenes from Star Wars of Chewbacca re-edited with Peter Griffin's voice?
No.
Going, eh. It's the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen in the world.
We have
to look that up.
Okay. But anyways, all the Star Wars books are good. Leia's kind of weak. Lando is a little slow in places, but it's good. But Vader and Star Wars are both
Vader
excellent.
And the Star Wars series are, I think, they're the two strongest Star Wars books I've ever read.
Yeah.
They're really, really good.
Yeah, they're doing a lot for the mythology around Star Wars. especially since they eliminated all the other canon. The new canon I'm really enjoying.
None of that shit worked.
The legacy stuff or whatever. Anyways, my number one book is Batman.
Really?
Batman's been phenomenal this
Love
past
Scott
year.
Snyder.
Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
The best comic team.
The best Batman comic team in a long, long time. They did the Endgame storyline where Batman and Joker fought to the death.
Isn't Capullo leaving soon?
Capullo already left.
He already left?
Yeah. And Snyder's about to be done, too.
Snyder's almost done, yeah.
Yeah.
But they may revisit the character at some point in the future. They both said that. They both like doing it. Endgame is going to go down as one of the most iconic Joker stories.
That's where the Joker dies, right?
They both die.
Oh, that's right.
They both die next to a Lazarus pit-ish kind of thing. Oh. We don't really know what it is. And they both come back having lost their memory. Neither one of them remembers who they are.
Because then Batman now is Commissioner Gordon,
Commissioner
right?
Gordon. And Bruce Wayne's still around, but he doesn't know he was ever Batman. People
are trying
to
know he's Batman.
Convince him who he was. And he keeps running into the Joker, like in the park. But the Joker's just some normal dude who, like, he's like,
thinks everything's funny.
No, he doesn't even laugh. He's just like a normal guy wearing a suit. He has no idea he was some psychopath
until
before.
The craziness kicks in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the whole point.
Hilarity ensues.
I think the whole point of that storyline is that once Bruce Wayne becomes Batman again, it's going to inspire Joker to become Joker again. Mm. That, you know, he would never exist without Batman.
Yeah,
being
one
there
can't
in the first place.
Live without the other. Right. Which has always been the theme of Batman anyway.
Right. I mean, I think they nailed all the themes. And I think they wrote some of the most iconic Batman stories of the last, like, 20 years or so.
I loved their whole entire run. I have all of their stuff in hardback.
So. Yeah, so I'm really happy with that. Then moving on to my miniseries, my number five was We Stand on Guard, Brian K. Vaughan's new miniseries.
I've heard that.
Me neither. I like Brian K. Vaughan's, one of my favorite writers.
Yeah.
America, out of the blue one day, decides to invade Canada, and we just bomb the shit out of them.
Fuck Canada.
Because
basically is what they said.
Yeah, well, we wanted to like take their maple syrup and
blame Canada.
No, it was all about oil, obviously.
They have oil in
maple
Canada.
Syrup.
And there's a small contingent of Canadian freedom fighters who are basically going against the entire American army.
So it's like Red Dawn in Canada.
Yes. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Airboy, which is a really trippy book from James Robinson, and I can't remember the other guy's name, where they're hired by DC to write a book about this golden age character called Airboy, who was basically a guy who could fly, didn't have any other real powers. And neither one of them has any ideas. They're both feeling like washed out writers and artists. So they decided to get really, really high and try to write the book. So they do a whole bunch of drugs and they're like, well, we're already like really high. Let's go out and fuck some girls. So they go to the strip club and like hook up with some random hoes. They get really drunk and they go back to their apartment to pass out. And when they wake up, Airboy has come to life and is there with them and is chiding them for being horrible people. And how could they possibly be in charge of bringing him back to this current age?
Yeah, I want to read this.
They took some bad shit is what they did.
Yeah, so it's four issues of this like drug-fueled crazy romp with this like golden age, high morals, you know, like what you envision when you think of Captain America or somebody from that time period, like constantly telling them what's wrong with them. And they end up going through a time portal and ending up in Nazi Germany, where he's like fighting them and they're still like stoned out of their fucking minds and having to help him fight against the Nazis. So it's a fun read, and it's really trippy and really unique, not like anything else I've read in a long time.
Okay, I need to write that one down because you had me at Nazis.
Yeah. God Hates Astronauts is my number
three. I've already heard of that.
From Ryan Brown. He does the writing, the artwork, the editing, everything. It's way too hard to explain. It's just really bizarre, really trippy. This spaceship full of crab people that's led by a guy named Admiral Tiger eating a cheeseburger comes to Earth, and they're...
Wait, what?
They're here on a peace mission, and somehow...
When did he become Admiral? I thought he was still General.
Well, actually, he starts out as a Prince Tiger eating a cheeseburger, and then he works his way up to Admiral.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense
now. Or his father is... I can't even remember. It's, like, way too confusing. All the characters are really bizarre. The whole thing's narrated by a 3D ghost, who's this really bizarre little funny character who gets pissed off and then has a Twitter war with Charles Soule, like in real life. Like there's an actual Twitter account for 3D ghost, and Charles Soule says, I can be a better narrator than you. So then in the next issue, 3D ghost is no longer a part of the book and Charles Soule has taken his place as the narrator.
And he's an actual comic book writer.
Yes, he's actually a comic book writer. Ryan Brown's had some really off-the-wall creative things with this story. I can't explain the plot because it's so fucking strange. But do yourself a favor and read God Hates Astronauts. You'll either absolutely love it like I do, or you'll think it's the weirdest thing you've ever read, and you'll hate it. But I think it's great.
I like weird shit, though.
My number two is...
That's what she said.
My number two is...
I hope she doesn't say that.
My number two is We Can Never Go Home from Matthew Rosenberg. And this is from a real small press company called Black Mass Studios. It's about this boy who's abused. Like, his dad's really abusive. He's bullied at school. He has, you know, no friends, whatever. He meets this girl, and he realizes that she has superpowers. Like, whenever she gets threatened, her eyes start to glow, and she gains super strength. And she becomes, like, bulletproof because some football jock was trying to rape her, and she beat the shit out of him.
Nice.
So he befriends her, promises he won't tell anybody her secret, and begs her to come back to his place to help him deal with his father. He tells her he has superpowers, too, that he can telepathically kill people, but we never actually see him use his power. So she goes back to his house. She ends up killing his father, and the two of them go on the run. They're like, we can never go home because we're murderers now. They're like, well, we need money or we can't go anywhere. He's like, well, I know about this house where some crack dealers live. So they go to the crack house, and she goes in there and kills all the crack dealers and takes the giant duffel bag of money, and then they go on the run. And, of course, the crack dealers are all after him, and the FBI is aware of power, so the FBI is after him too. So they got two different organizations chasing him across the country, and, like, she has powers, and he maybe has powers. It's, again, very unique, very different from a lot of books, and I think that's why I loved it so much. And then my number one book from miniseries is The Empty from Jimmy Robinson. He does all the writing, artwork, editing, everything on this one as well. It's kind of like Ferngully, which would make you think I wouldn't like it to begin with, but it's also kind of like Mad Max.
So it's an environmental piece?
It's an environmental story, but it's also like in a post-apocalyptic future where humanity's wiped itself out, and there's different races that are trying to survive in this wasteland.
Okay.
And on the other side of the world, everything's completely green, and like magic has evolved where people can bring things to life just by touching them.
Hmm.
So a girl from the other side of the world ends up in the wasteland, and she's like, you know, obviously highly in demand because she can bring trees to life and make water where there was none. And so everybody's trying to hunt her down and kill her.
Or capture her.
Capture or kill her, because some people think it's an abomination. They think that she's evil or whatever. It's so good. It's so good. And it's a real shame that it ended at issue 6. Like, I think he had over 50 issues planned for it, and the sales just weren't there, so he ended up having to rush the story and end it as a miniseries. He still did a great job. He stuck the landing, even though he had to kind of rush it.
What was it called again?
The Empty.
The Empty.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was another one that's just great.
We'll have to put in the show notes of this episode a lot of these titles that we're talking about, so you can actually look for them yourself, because...
Yeah.
I've never heard of some of this stuff, so...
Yeah, half of the stuff I haven't heard. At least from the mini stuff, like the mini storylines.
That's what we get for playing video games and shit, not reading more comics.
Well, even in that regard, you beat us to the punch.
Yeah, I guess so. I do a lot of video game playing, so I'm okay with that.
You only have so much time in the day.
But you know what we all do together? We all watch a lot of TV.
I was like, I don't know.
Put them in your mouth and suck them.
So let's talk about our top TV shows of the past year.
Okay.
This is my...
Like TV, or just like streaming stuff?
Streaming, of course, counts.
Okay. Yeah.
Streaming counts.
Television programming.
Still not technically TV
programming. Okay, programming.
Okay, all right.
Netflix shows count.
I made a top five list, but I only considered new shows. I didn't consider...
Yeah, I only considered new shows,
I didn't consider
too.
Shows that were in their second or third season.
Me neither.
So here's... This is probably my number one favorite new show. I just binge watched the rest of the episodes like yesterday.
Jessica
or Sunday.
Jones?
Nope. Ash vs. Evil Dead.
I'm not current yet, so don't say anything.
No, we're not spoiling anything.
I fucking love it.
I love the show.
It's probably my favorite.
What episode are you on?
I don't even remember. I have a bunch to catch up
on. There's only 12,
though.
Right?
10.
10.
10 episodes.
Yeah, I have a lot to catch up on.
Where are you on the show? What's the last thing you remember?
I may only be like 3 or 4 episodes in.
Okay.
The last thing I remember was them summoning the demon in the bookstore.
Yeah, so that's like the 4th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's episode number 4, yeah.
But I fucking love it.
It's a great show.
Awesome, the demon was so cool.
It reminded me of like
when they kept the mouth still in the frame, but everything else was moving around it. I was like, that.
It reminded me of like Hellraiser.
A really cool effect.
Yeah. Definitely Hellraiser.
Did you know that was the thing everyone complained about the most, like on the internet?
Really?
Yeah.
Was that demon?
Was the demon looked too fake or whatever?
It was awesome looking.
I'm just saying that's what people complained about. I liked it. I thought it would have looked a lot cooler had they not did the little blurry effect, because I saw some of the behind the scenes stuff and it looked cool from behind the scenes.
I thought the series was a lot of fun. I didn't love the ending.
I liked the ending because it was,
we won't talk specifics,
because it's going to lead to more episodes. That's why I liked it.
Right,
but it's for the character of Ash. It made sense.
It did.
I think if it went any other way, you'd be like, "Nah, that's not right."
Well, they have to have a season two some kind of way.
I would have been happier with like a cliffhanger or.
It was a cliffhanger.
It was a cliffhanger that had some kind of like faulty resolution in there, just in case it didn't
well,
get picked
Ash
up
for you. Everything
second
is
season
faulty.
Or something. Like it was good. I just feel like there could have been a different ending.
And the last episode was bloody good.
Oh, it was great until the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's in my top five. Gory. Ash versus the Evil Dead.
It didn't make my top five, but really? I liked it.
Another one on my top five that probably no one else picked was Man in the High Castle.
I just finished episode number two, and I really enjoy that show.
Yeah, it's a very good show. I like it a lot.
I need to catch up on it.
It's like another show.
Have
like,
you read that?
No.
Man in the High Castle, Philip K. Dick book?
No.
Okay.
It's an alternate history type of thing.
That's
where
the one where the Nazis won.
Is that correct? They won. They dropped the bomb on the United States, and Japan takes like the east, the
okay,
eastern
yeah.
half, and
so basically the story takes place like 20 years after World right. War II. So it's in the '60s.
We had talked about that before because I mentioned how it was basically. Wolfenstein.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, I remember.
But see, what's cool
there's
about
no Blazkowicz
it, like,
in the show.
Getting, there's this like little faction of like resistance looking for these like little film reels. And in these film reels, they show you an alternate history of their version of like our real history, but an alternate history of what could be.
Okay.
So, and you don't know what these are for until you keep watching the rest of the show.
How many episodes are there?
10.
Okay. That's definitely something I'm going to continue on.
Amazon's really, kicking it up a notch. I was thinking Amazon.
So is Netflix.
Well, Netflix has been like king when it came to like programming, but Amazon's really stepping it up with their programming. In my opinion,
I'll need to check that out.
Speaking of Netflix, Jessica Jones was on my list.
Yeah, it's my number two pick.
It's
my
number three.
I haven't watched it yet, so
really good.
It's really good.
My number one pick was Daredevil.
My number two pick is Daredevil.
What was your number one?
Mr. Robot.
That's my number three.
Mr. Robot, I feel like, is the best show since Breaking Bad.
I need to see that.
That was my number three pick.
Mr. Robot is phenomenal.
They didn't sell me on the like trailers and stuff for that. I was like, this looks stupid.
When I watched the trailers, I had no interest in it at all. It wasn't until writers that I know were like, holy shit, you need to be watching this show. And then I said, okay, well, if all my writer friends are saying this is good, I got to check it out. And then I was like blown away at how good it is.
Christian Slater just won a Golden Globe for it.
Did he really?
Rami Malek should too.
He didn't. Yeah, he was nominated, but he didn't win.
The kid, right? The main actor.
Yeah,
I just remember him from Night at the Museum.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's the best first season of a show since the first season of Breaking Bad. I feel pretty confident.
No, it was really good. It's what's my top three? Maybe because I'm an action fanatic.
You mentioned Daredevil. Yeah. Daredevil is definitely on my list. And we only have, like, what, a month and a half or 2 months till the new season?
March 25th.
Yeah. March, yeah. Same day as Batman v Superman.
That's a hard choice.
No, it's not.
Not really.
Not really.
Yeah, I'm going to do both. So.
That's what she said.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
It was a lot of fun.
I got tired of it after, like, 3-4 episodes.
It was a lot of fun.
It's fun. Don't get me wrong.
I wouldn't have known about it unless it was for you that one day.
It's probably in my top 10. It didn't make my top 5.
There is no top 5 here.
There's top 5 on my list.
No, not me.
Yeah, Mr. Robot's on my number 3 list.
Man in the High Castle was on mine.
Yeah?
I'm going to have to say the last season of Community that was on...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
On Yahoo?
Yahoo.
Dude, it did so poorly. They don't even want to bring it back.
I know. It's still fucking funny, though.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
It had some moments, but I didn't think it was as strong as some of the other seasons.
I didn't. No, it wasn't as strong as like earlier stuff, but...
Wait, did Rick and Morty come out in 2015?
2014.
Never mind. No.
Rick and Morty can be on there because season two came out.
But we were talking about like new shows.
No.
Rick and Morty's great.
Rick and Morty's on there.
Rick and Morty is one of my favorite animated shows of all time.
My number 4 was Better Call Saul.
I haven't watched that yet.
I tried watching that. The first 4 episodes are just kind of meh.
I feel like the first 2 were kind of slow, but then it hits the stride, and all the characters are so weird. and so interesting that it just like builds on itself and it keeps getting better and better.
I like Bob Odenkirk too, but I only watched like the first like 2.5 seasons of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and I've only watched the first 2 episodes. So
of Breaking Bad,
yeah,
you're both missing out.
Finished it?
No.
Holy crap! You guys are missing out.
Like it's like
prime TV.
It's in my opinion like the best TV series ever.
I would say it's one of the best TV series ever.
Better than The Walking Dead?
Hell yes.
Okay. I said that with a straight face.
I know you did. What else you got?
Well, yeah, what's the next on your list?
Or we could say Rick and Morty.
Okay. Is that on your list?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple of HBO shows I had a lot of fun watching.
Yeah?
The Brink.
Oh, yeah, that did come out in 20... Yeah. Or did it came out in 2014?
2015. Brink. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Brink was good, though.
And Ballers. Which I didn't think I was going to like that show.
I actually had a lot of fun watching that. I watched that on your recommendation because I like The Rock, but I don't love The Rock. And
I think Denzel's son's.
It didn't
the best.
Seem like it was going to be a show that I would enjoy, but I really had fun.
He was awkward on when Denzel won some. Did that Golden Globe?
His son was on there. Yeah, he won the Ceci like, Cecil B. DeMille. Cecil B. DeMille. There you go. Whatever that award.
Yeah, that one.
I just recently, and this is number 5 on my list, watched Making of a Murder.
I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, that's been everywhere on social media last week.
It's really, really well done, and it's so eye-opening to just how fucked up your life could be if people in authority want to make it fucked up. Mm. It's something that probably everybody should watch.
I want to see it. I don't have Netflix anymore. So
a show that I just started watching because of actually your recommendation, Silicon Valley.
I love Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley's fun.
So fun.
One of the funniest shows on HBO.
Definitely agree.
Season 1's the best, but season 2's just
got TJ Miller in it. What's not to like?
That's right. I have some other show that I've been that we watch a lot. Like me and my wife watch a lot of comedy, so like sitcom, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, really funny.
Can't get into that show, unfortunately.
I love it.
Andy Samberg, thank you.
I think Andre Brower is so funny in the show.
Everybody on that show is really funny.
Yeah, it's a really good cast. I like Terry Crews. Andre Brower.
Terry Crews is great. Andy Samberg, not so much.
Oh, come on, dude. Don't hate
I actually really like him. I actually really like him
Andy,
in that show.
I like Andy Samberg pretty
too.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be the only one that doesn't like Andy Samberg.
I haven't watched the show.
I will do
at
it
all,
for
though.
The team, okay, guys?
Did you drink the Haterade earlier?
I never liked him. Even from SNL days, I don't think he's funny.
I think he's hilarious.
His funniness is amplified by his supporting cast.
Yes,
they're all great.
Terry Crews to me is funny on that show.
I heard there's a Lonely Island movie coming out this year, which is like a fake documentary.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Did anybody watch Documentary Now?
No.
I interviewed.
Is that the Bill Hader one?
Yes.
I didn't see it.
They get killed like every episode. They're like, let's go make a documentary about drug lords.
And interviewed the cinematographer right here on this very show.
I know you talked about it.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really enjoy the show that much.
It's on IFC, right?
It's a really weird show. But it was interesting to watch because like they play two characters that went down to Mexico to investigate drug cartels and they keep asking the wrong questions of people and they get directed to like where they would die.
It's the same people that make Portlandia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go there and they die. And then two more reporters come down to find out what happened to the first two guys. And it's still Bill Hader and Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
And, like, they're investigating what happened to the first two guys. And then they get killed. And then, like, two more people come down.
And it's still Fred Armisen and Bill Hader.
The office is looking really quiet these days. I don't know what happened to all of our reporters. Like, they keep sending them down to Mexico. And then, like, the third batch makes it all the way to, like, the house of the head drug lord. And instead of killing him, he gives him cocaine and like lets him party with him and all of his friends. They're like shooting guns and like it's just really weird. Like it's not super enjoyable, but it's just such a strange show.
Sounds fun. Do you like Portlandia?
I watch it. It's fun.
I love Portlandia.
I like how satirical it is.
When it first started, I was very like I enjoy this. But as it's gone on, I feel like it's gotten so much better. And part of the thing that's always appealed to me about it is that I'm like, I know all of these people.
Yeah.
Like, I went to college with that guy. You know, I've worked with that guy. And that's really what I enjoy about it. So, and that they keep bringing the characters back.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoy the humor. And so, I can kind of see what you're talking about
mm-hmm.
with that. And it sounds enjoyable.
It is.
Everybody has a guilty pleasure TV show.
I have 3.
Okay, I want to hear everybody's guilty pleasures. Let's start with George.
The hell's a guilty pleasure? I need some examples.
Something you watch that you maybe don't want everybody to know
okay,
you watch.
Okay, give him an example.
Yeah, like, say you're a big fan of Big Brother or something.
No, I don't watch that show.
I'm not.
Oh,
I mean, I watch it occasionally. But
yeah, what's one of yours?
So like Scream Queens. I loved season one of Scream Queens.
Didn't even care to watch it.
It's really weird.
That's a Ryan Murphy thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
I cannot stand American Horror Story. I think it's garbage. Like I watched
don't
this,
like American
this,
Horror Story.
This
either.
Season definitely was. I've watched all of it up to this point.
And Lady Gaga won Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, she did.
You know what? I don't really know why this is the only season that I just straight up stopped watching. But really? I was like, you know what? I just don't care.
I
don't care.
Yeah, I don't enjoy American Horror Story
really
at all. I
never watched any of them.
The second season was really good. The first season was okay. And that's where I started.
That's where I stopped watching.
The second season was really good. The first season was eh. The third season was eh, but fun to watch. The fourth season started out really good, and I really liked the characters, but they had no idea what to do with the story. And by the end of the season, it was like, yeah. By the end of the season, it was like nothing made sense anymore. It was a complete disaster. This one started as a disaster and wasn't looking like it was going to get better, which is a shame because the setting was really cool, and I do like some of the characters in it, but overall, it's just It's not good.
I had no interest to watch that show.
Scream Queens is completely different, though, than American Horror Story.
It's a
comedy. I mean, it's a comedy.
It has What's-Her-Face in it from Halloween.
Yeah, it's got Jamie Lee Curtis in
Jamie
it.
Jamie Lee Curtis, thank you.
The whole cast is great.
She's trying to tell you Activia. The whole
time. The whole cast is great, and it's pretty easy to predict who the killer is, I think. And all the characters make stupid decision after stupid decision.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, somebody got killed. Oh, we'll just sleep in the house tonight. No, not a big deal.
I watched the pilot episode of it. I thought it was funny.
It's very funny. Like, it's one of the shows I look forward to the most this past season. Like, I had a lot of fun watching it. I don't think it's great by any means. There's definitely a lot of holes. There's definitely a lot of problems with it, but it's just fun. And if you enjoy the movie Scream, you'll love this.
I like Scream a lot.
One of my other ones is The Last Man on Earth.
Me too. I love that show. That's not a guilty pleasure.
Is that a guilty pleasure?
Yeah. It's an honor. I have it on my honorable mentions list.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That show, this season has been very interesting. A lot different.
It's a lot different than the first one. Yes. Yeah. Another one that actually is a guilty pleasure is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I've heard about that show.
They won an award.
Yeah.
She's incredibly talented.
It's like a musical, isn't it?
Well, she walks around. I mean, she is this high-powered lawyer, super smart, making tons of money, living in New York, and she bumps into this guy who she dated when she was like 14, and they met at summer camp. And he's the only guy in her whole life that she's ever like felt close to. And he moved away, and he lives in California. And she's like, oh, maybe I'll look you up if I ever get there one day. And she goes to this meeting where she gets this big promotion and more money, and she can't stop thinking about him, and she's just like, you know what, fuck it. I'm tired of this. Like, I'm constantly stressed out. I'm pulling my hair out. She's like, I'm just going to move to California and see if I can make something happen with this guy. So she just packs up all her shit and moves to California. And, you know, she meets, coincidentally, some of his friends before she finds him again. It turns out he has a girlfriend. He's not even available. And so she's, like, kind of bummed out. But she goes there and becomes a lawyer in California. But she walks around. She has all these, like the show's half of a comedy and half a musical. Because she sees things that happen, and then she breaks into song that's just in her head. And, like, other people will join in, and it's kind of like one of those, kind of like the scene in Clerks 2.
I was about to say Clerks 2.
Where they're dancing on the building. There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Oh, that scene where they're, okay.
And some of the songs are really funny. Oh, there's a lot of that in this, too.
Rosario Dawson?
No, this, the show.
Yeah?
She's not that bad looking. Rachel Bloom?
Okay.
That's her name, I think?
Yeah. That's who they...
It's a guilty pleasure, but I really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's not like anything else on TV, and I think that's why I like it.
Do you have any guilty pleasures, cool. Dave?
That one's weird for me. I don't watch a whole lot of, especially current TV. I guess guilty pleasures would be things like, you know, Ghost Hunters and, like, I watch that shit. And what else? Like, true crime shows.
You know what I love? I'm either going to be like Real Housewives of Orange County.
No.
Please don't hit
me. You know what I love? I love cooking
really
reality shows, cooking competition
like
shows.
Like Iron Chef stuff.
Iron Chef America, anything Chopped. On Food Network. Chopped. I love Chopped. I love those shows. I don't know why.
What's that show where they basically you have to pay money to like kill or destroy your others and point?
Oh, yeah.
Cutthroat Kitchen,
yeah.
My nephew
Alton Brown is great. I love him. But my biggest... This show is a little weird, all right?
Can't be any more weird than what we've been
guilty pleasure
already.
It's Once Upon a Time.
Eh.
Do you still have testicles?
Yeah, they're still there.
You know what, Carrie? I watched it up until the Peter Pan episodes, yeah. And then I couldn't take it anymore, and I stopped.
I'm still there. I'm still with it, so...
Yeah, like, I four seasons, and then they never did anything different. It was the same things over and over again.
Yeah, let's say, is the show good? No. There's a lot of bad CGI, a lot of bad green screen. It's basically high school drama.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say you can't watch Arrow.
Fuck Arrow. I'm joking.
I'm just saying. I guess that would be my guilty pleasures, Arrow and
Flash. But Arrow's actually a decent show. I mean, it has... Season 4 had a lot of problems.
I didn't like this current season.
Yeah, Season 4 had a lot of problems, but it's a good show in
general. I like Flash a lot. Like,
Flash is a great show.
Yeah, it's my...
I need to get into Flash. I hear it's really, really good.
Really
fun. If I don't like...
But you can't watch one without the other.
Yeah. You can.
No, you really can't.
You really can't. They interplay so much.
I watch Arrow sometimes when my wife is watching it, basically.
Okay.
If I'm in the room and it's on, I'll...
When it's on, right?
Yeah. When it's on, it's on. That's it.
Yeah, I don't really have any guilty pleasures. None that I would call a guilty pleasure, at least.
I have other stuff that like might sound weird, but that no. I'm like, no, it's not a guilty pleasure. Like,
well, what would you think sounds weird? I'm curious.
I continue to contend that Steven Universe is one of the best things on television.
I love that show.
Steven Universe is fucking awesome.
I watch Gravity Falls a lot.
I've never watched it, but I've heard so many good things.
Gravity Falls is so good. And
I love Adventure Time.
Like, Adventure Time is amazing.
One of my favorite shows.
To me.
I love Adventure Time.
Regular show?
Regular show.
I watch a lot of cartoons, apparently.
Yeah, I watch a lot of cartoons as well. It's a lot of that's because I have kids that are watching them, but...
I don't have an excuse.
I'm
you know what, though? A lot of them I would watch anyway.
Yeah.
I would watch anyway a lot of this stuff.
I watched an episode of Teen Titans Go the other day.
It actually pulls on your heartstrings.
Steven Universe is fucking fantastic.
You ever watch that Clarence show?
I try to.
It's actually kind of funny.
But there are parts of, like, Clarence, I'm like, God, this kid's so fucking stupid.
That's why it's funny. Cause
that and Uncle Grandpa. Like,
I can't watch that one.
So, one of... Uncle Grandpa's real stupid.
I can't watch that one.
They did a... Uncle Grandpa Steven Universe crossover episode.
Oh my God.
And it was like, what the fuck are they doing? And the whole thing was an April Fool's joke. And like,
good morning.
And Uncle Grandpa says it early on in the episode, he says he makes a joke and then he's like, don't worry, kid, none of this is canon. And like, I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm like, it was good. I gotta say, though, like, I don't know if it's guilty, but I don't know. I enjoy the show. I like Teen Titans Go. I think it's fucking hysterical.
It's hilarious.
It's something I watch like on the background. I always have it on.
And like especially a lot like this last year or so.
Yeah.
They've been really funny and like they're totally like doing this like meta hacking on people that hate this show. And that's like some of my favorite shit.
I like this when they're like we're saying like we're gonna be serious. We're gonna be real Titans. And then they like,
seen
super
the episode
serious?
where Cyborg can't do anything unless he's listening to the song.
That is my favorite episode.
I just watched an episode the other day for the very first I mean I've seen clips, but I actually watched an episode the other day. I did not know this show was so bonkers.
It's great. Bizarre.
No, it's retardedly.
I love
it.
It's great.
Crazy.
Yeah, watch the episode 80%, 80%, 20%. That's the one that he's talking about. It's probably my favorite episode of the show.
The one
and
I saw
all of the cyborg ones are generally my favorite.
The one I saw was the Flash and Robin were fighting over who's going to be the leader.
Oh, yeah. And they were going to do a foot race?
Yeah. He was all training and shit by looking in the mirror. He's like, I can do it. I believe I can.
What about the one where Robin's fighting, is it Arsenal to date Starfire?
Oh, God, I don't remember. There's been so many.
I remember that one. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What?
I love Beast Boy, though. Beast Boy is probably my favorite in the show.
I loved, in the 80s, I loved the Teen Titan comics. So, I mean,
hey,
I love these characters.
We're going to get a live-action Teen Titan show.
It got canceled.
Did it really?
Raven starts like, fooling around with female Deathstroke.
What?
What? I don't remember that one.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Then you woke up, right?
No, in the cartoon, Lady Deathstroke, they arrest her, and she keeps breaking out of prison, and then, like, she's like, you guys are not cool, you guys suck, every single one of you. And then Raven's like, hey. She's like, well, you're all right. And they start talking, and Robin, like, breaks into Raven's room. He's like, hey, what's going on here? She's supposed to be in prison. And she's like, well, she's in prison. This is in prison, this is your room. What the fuck are you talking about, Robin? This is prison. Am I losing my mind?
All right, before this turns into a Teen Titans podcast, I think we covered up pretty much everything, right?
I have one more that I'm going to mention. And
saving it for the last.
This one is maybe another one of those, like,
what's going to be.
Should sounds like it should be a guilty pleasure thing, and it's, I guess, a mini series.
Yeah.
They just had the second season, Gallivant. Did anybody watch Gallivant?
I watched the first episode.
If you didn't,
isn't
you missed
like a,
out.
Like a medieval
it is
musical
a,
comedy?
It's a medieval musical comedy, and it is goddamn hilarious.
Is it?
Yes. It's
it
really
bad.
Funny.
The,
it does
look bad.
The trailer
for season one looked too much like Once Upon a Time, and that's why I didn't
it does look bad. It looks really bad, and I think that they did that on purpose. I kind of think they were trying to trick people into watching it.
They didn't do a good job for me.
But... the first season was hysterical. Like, I laughed my ass off
didn't
multiple
have, like,
times.
John Stamos in it?
They had a lot of cameos. So John
Weird
Stamos
Al
was in
it?
One episode. Weird Al was
yeah,
in an
I
episode. Ricky Gervais was in an episode. There's a lot of cameos in it. I thought it was funny. And, like, you totally don't mind that you're watching a musical comedy because, like, the songs are funny.
Like Robin Hood Men in Tights kind of funny, or?
Yeah.
Okay. I can get behind that. I'd give it a
shot. Like, and, like, everybody in it is kind of awful. Like, like the hero's kind of a dick. Like, he's sort of a horrible person.
Get behind everybody in the show being terrible.
The princess is definitely horrible. There are not absolutely everybody is, but most of the characters in the show are, because they have to have a couple of redeeming characters to move things along, but most of the people in the show are horrible or inept or stupid. It's
felt like a Mel Brooks movie.
Vinny Jones is in it.
Okay.
And he's actually really funny in it.
British dude?
Yeah. Like the guy from Snatch. And,
yeah. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
Weird.
I'll have to check it out.
So second season just wrapped up. Like they run them like real fast because they do two episodes back to back. So it only lasts for like 3 weeks. I haven't watched the new season yet, but the first season was really funny.
Very cool.
Surprisingly.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know. It's still on my DVR though.
Okay.
Like we kept it.
So good. We got to watch it again.
We just got to go to Dave's house and watch it all now.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm sure there are other means to get it.
Yeah, maybe
just
so.
Just as life, fuck that.
So, thanks for tuning in to our second part of our 2015 Rewind. We have a couple things to wrap up before we go. It's getting late over here. So, we're not going to pussyfoot around, so headphones.
Pussyfoot around.
Headphones, right?
Headphones for your ear pussies.
Put them in your mouth and suck them.
No, don't put them in your mouth because then they won't work very well. But if they don't work... You have a lifetime guarantee on them.
So if after you've sucked on them, you can return them.
Just try explaining that to the warranty office.
So if you're looking for a good pair of headphones, go to tweakedaudio.com. If you're looking to get 33% off your entire order, you're looking to get free shipping anywhere in the entire Steven universe. See what I did there?
Mm.
And if you have any kind of problems with them, lifetime guarantee. That's awesome.
And what's the code for this magical pass?
Do you want the code? I'll give you the code.
Yeah.
Metal Geeks.
All right.
Imagine that. It's awesome.
And then you'll get 33% off.
Make sure it's not chocolate salty balls.
I'm pretty sure it's Metal Geeks. Okay. Hence the title of the show.
Just making sure.
Exactly. So, chocolate salty. You can't even say that. Say that five times fast.
Chocolate salty balls.
It's
chef's
salty balls.
Chocolate salty.
My chocolate salty balls.
Shit, I couldn't even say it once.
Put them in your mouth then. Suck it.
So, there you go. Tweaked Audio. Thank you.
Tweaked Audio with chocolate salty balls.
You can, like we said before on the last episode, there's a lot of places you can find us all over the interwebs. Let's talk about where you can't find us.
Everywhere that's social media, such as Facebook,
such as, for example,
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social medias.
At Metal Geek.
You sounded like that beauty pageant.
It took me off guard. I wasn't like, ready to answer.
Things like, such as the people in the place, like the Metal
people
Geeks.
People who live in the world of Metal Geeks. I was not ready.
So like you said so eloquently.
Shut up. Facebook, hey, all you guys. I'm going home.
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Metal Geeks. You can find us at metalgeeks.net. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe. Give us a review. All that good stuff.
Tell us how much you love us or hate us.
Love us. Mostly love, though. We want your love. We love,
love peace, and chicken grease, everybody.
Like we said, iTunes. You can find us on The Blast Syndicate. You can find us on Pod Bros, Houston Nerdcasting Collective, Altness.com, Nerdbong, ESO Podcast, and starting on the 31st of January, you can find us on Metal Onslaught Radio, along with MSRcast, our sister show. Okay, I'm done.
All right.
Where can they find our co-host for the evening over here?
You can find me at comicalpodcast.com or on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud by searching for Comical Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Comical Podcast or on Instagram. And my Facebook is facebook.com/comicalpodcast. So pretty much anywhere, just do a Google search for Comical Podcast.
He was ready. I wasn't.
Now your turn. Go.
I'm just saying. He was ready. I wasn't.
Okay.
You just kind of.
You can find us places such as the internet and Carrie's house and my car
and your phone as well.
My phone. Just type in Metal Geeks and in iTunes and it pops up.
Now where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter. On Instagram, I am George Tripp, and Twitter, it's George Trippses.
You should make those sync up together.
It's already happened. It's not
never too late.
We've gone past the point of return here. It's never gonna happen.
He lost his sass when he went to Instagram.
I think so.
That's right.
So stupid.
It was meant to be.
It was a good line, is what it was.
And
you can find me at Red Viking Dave on Twitter and Instagram. And my geeky creations at iLoveGeekazoid.com.
Very cool. Yeah. So thanks for tuning in to our 2015 Rewind. We covered, in this episode, comic books and TV shows and video games and no music, huh?
No, we left that out.
But if you want to listen to our in-depth metal discussions, tune into the next couple of episodes of MSRcast, because I'm sure they're going to run pretty long, too, because there's a lot of great music that came out in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, giggity. So, yeah.
And dead air.
Thanks for tuning in. Question mark?
Tuning in.
Tuning in.
As always, guys.
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky.
Yes.
Till next time.
Yes.
Suck 'em.
Balls. Chocolate salty balls.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.